This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Well, Sterling Holmes has made it into the front seat of this segment. That doesn't mean anything. You can follow him on Twitter, at HomestretchKC. You can hear him over on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, ArrowheadAddict.com. I think that's all the things that you do, Sterling, other than just, again, following you on Twitter. Is there anything else you would like to tell people to find you through?
With Joshua Briscoe.
I also sell real estate. You can find me on BetterHomesAndGardens.com.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The best thing about that liner is I don't have to tell you anything else about Sterling Holmes, who joins us now. We can just dive right into it on Twitter, at HomestretchKC, and we'll sell you real estate if you want it. Sterling, I've got a very important question off the jump here that immediately follows just sort of how the arc of this show has gone so far today. We were talking about the Premier Lacrosse League, and there are some team names that I think are really important. Which one of these two names do you think sounds more like a euphemism for a dong, the Water Dogs or the Whip Snakes?
Oh, dude, Whip Snakes for sure. Oh, my gosh. You can't tell me there wasn't some juvenile high school kid who just goes, Dad, you're going to love this. Let me pitch you something. And that's what they come up with.
There's also, we didn't even mention the Cannons or the Redwoods. It's a very phallic league.
These are fantastic. Are you kidding me? By the way, did you know that Chris Hogan played lacrosse before he played in the NFL?
Yes. Ended up here. That is how we ended up here, is I was trying to talk about Deshaun Watson, and then we ended up talking about Christian McCaffrey, and ended up talking about Chris Hogan, and ended up talking about the Premier Lacrosse League. Now we're talking about Whip Snakes.
I don't know if you know this, Sterling, but Chris Hogan announced he is entering the Premier Lacrosse. He's turning down the NFL for the Premier Lacrosse League.
Well, I'm sure a lot of NFL teams were vying for his services.
He said, no, thank you, NFL. I'm going to go play lacrosse.
He wants to be a whip snake.
He's going to be a water dog.
It's the most excited I've ever heard Beards.
It's really – Beards is undefeated at getting weirdly excited for things that I would not have expected him to get excited about. Yes. Beards loves the AAF, XFL, PLL, just leagues that don't have actual followings
that
of
don't
substance.
Exist after we find them.
That's right. I'm afraid that we're going to kill the PLL. Would you like to pick a team to support here, Sterling? You can the available teams, we can't double up, unfortunately. That's the rule that I've just decided. You can pick between the Archers, Atlas, Cannons, Chaos, Redwoods. Those are on the board still.
Well, Redwoods is tough, but I got to go with the Archers. You just based on name.
Your name. And that makes a lot of sense. That's actually a great point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations. Sterling of the Archers. There we go. That works out just fine.
Perfect.
I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off here really quick because I mostly want to talk about other stuff. But whenever I was watching, keeping track, I should say, to be terribly honest, of like the first half of Mizzou, Georgia, I thought, this would be nice. We can talk to Sterling about Mizzou a little bit and just try to get an update on if they're actually good for real or not. And then they did the thing again. Sterling, why does Mizzou keep doing the thing?
Because they hate me. Because they hate anyone who went to Mizzou. I don't know, Briscoe. They're the Atlanta Falcons of college sports. Ooh. It's just brutal. Anytime you think they're going to be good, they're like, we're 10th of the nation. You're like, sweet. And then they go down to Mississippi. And they're like, let's play Ole Miss, who's trash. We'll just get swamped by them.
Yep.
Okay, don't worry. We have another game coming up soon. We'll play Arkansas, the rival you've beat already once. Now, let's go ahead and just lose in overtime because that seems like a fun thing to do. And then you're like, now you have an easy game against Georgia. Georgia's bad. You can't possibly lose three in a row. And then you get swamped. You're up 13, and you just say, we're going to lay down. We're done. We don't want to make the tournament anymore. Let's go from a 3 seed to being on the bubble. And that's how it goes. Yeah.
In all of sports talk, I think we try to find patterns that may not necessarily exist. So there might not be a good answer to this, but I'll take the best answer you can come up with this for. Is there something that is like a common thread that makes you go like, oh, well, clearly, you know, you can say they don't know how to close out games or whatever. Is that a coaching thing? Is that a talent problem? Is there something that you think can be pointed to in terms of how far they've fallen in these last three losses?
Well, I'd probably say just death, taxes, and Mizzou letting you down. Mm-hmm. That's just probably how it goes. You know, when I die, I want Mizzou to be my pallbearer so they can let me down one last time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just depressing. It's one of those things where, and I was trying to be a realistic Mizzou fan all year. When they mm-hmm. got to 10th in the nation, I go, guys, they're not the 10th best team in the nation. I can tell you that right now. They're in top maybe 25, you know, 20 to 30. That's probably where they're realistically at. You know, maybe a 5 seed, a 6 seed, but then they just do this, and you're like, even I wasn't expecting the roller coaster to end this way. Yeah. It's like when you build a roller coaster, but you only finish half of it, and then the other half, it's like the train just goes straight off, and you see it coming, like you know it's coming.
Right.
You've been on it before, and you've gotten hurt. You've gotten hurt year after year doing it, and you're like, well, maybe this year it'll be different, and then each time it's not different.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is, and it's just. It's to the point where I don't want to laugh, but it is comical.
Yeah.
Like, it is comical because I think we all knew at some point it was going to come. And now, like, Mark Smith goes through games now where he literally realizes he's never played basketball before. And he's like, hey, guys, I'm just going to go ahead and airball a three. I know that's my main game, but I'm going to have Javon Pickett, who was, like, one of 14 going into this game, be our leading three-point shooter now. It's just it's frustrating. Sorry I'm ranting, but then Mitchell Smith is like, okay, you're a center. Let's go ahead and get rebounds and make layups. And he goes, no, coach, I'm going to go 2 of 9 from the three-point line every single game. And I'm like, Kwanza, what are you doing here? Like, seriously, you're just going to let this happen? And then he's like, no, I'm never going to call a timeout. I'm never calling timeouts. I don't care if a team's going 20-0 runs. We may need that later after the game just in case we need to take it on the airplane with us. So,
it really tickles me that you're so bothered by this, and you're not wrong to be. It just feels like it's put you in kind of a very particular mood that honestly I might just break glass in case of Mizzou loss. Anytime they blow a game they should win, we might just call you just immediately after that and just see what you got.
Sure, yeah, just make sure you get it before I hit the bottom of the bottle. I haven't found it yet. It's still there. It's still swimming, so we'll see.
Also, go ahead and plan on being on, I don't know, immediately after the next 4 Mizzou games.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, however many games left they have left in the season, maybe one they win, and like it'll be like the good one. It'll be like the good team they play, and you're like, okay, there's some hope. They beat Tennessee. They finally did it. And then it's like, oh, you want to play, you know, Georgia or Ole Miss or Mississippi State or maybe Vanderbilt. Go ahead and just get your butt kicked by Vanderbilt. That seems like a very Mizzou thing to do right now.
Here's my last Mizzou question for you. Is what if I said, all right, take whatever cash you got in your wallet. Go ahead, whatever your Venmo balance is right now, it's all going on this answer. What do you think the most likely outcome is for Mizzou this year? I mean, you don't have to say they're going to lose in the first round to whatever team. But like in vague terms, however specific you want to get, whatever, you can't just say disappointment. What's the most likely outcome for the end of this season?
I'd probably say they end up, I would still say probably a 7 seed, maybe a 6 seed. In March Madness, because they have some good wins this year. They beat Illinois, which is obviously a great win, and Oregon, and Wichita State, and Tennessee, and Kentucky, and Arkansas, and Alabama. I mean, they have some good wins.
Kentucky's
a good win.
The Oregon and Wichita State game happened in 2017. Like, those happened a lifetime ago.
Sure, but the committee still...
No, they count. They count. I just forgot that both of those games happened with this college basketball season.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you know, Jeremiah Tillman's missed the last 2 games for family reasons, so obviously we're thinking about Jeremiah Tillman. And hopefully they take that into account when they seed Mizzou. I mean, they probably won't. I know a lot of times they don't, because it's not like Jeremiah Tillman is, Garza for Iowa. It's a different scenario. But, hopefully they take to some consideration there. They probably end up as a 6 or 7 seed. They'll probably get bounced by some 10 seed from, like, the Pac-12.
Yep.
And... You know, like when they were what? Like they lost like Florida State when they were an 8 seed or something like that, and they lost to Florida State with a 9. It'll be something like that. That's my best. That's my best guess. Just they have the experience, but Kwanza Martin, I've tried backing him for so long. Like I've been on that train forever, and I'm finding out now, I think a lot of people were right to be angry with him, and I was maybe overlooking some of his coaching issues because this is just bad now.
Are you reaching for the pole on your parachute right now on Kwanzo?
My hand's there. It's not pulling it yet, but it's like, okay, maybe 100 feet, maybe in like three more games. If you lose three more games in a row like this, then yes, that will have been pulled, and I would probably have already hit in the ground.
Right, that is the concern. Meanwhile, not too far down the road, Bruce Weber is just playing with actual peach baskets at this point. Like, no, we're good over here, actually, and you're ready to fire Kwanzo. They were ranked 10th.
Yeah, yep. So is Bruce Pearl still available? Can he come?
Where is Bruce Pearl at this point?
He's at Auburn.
Is he still at Auburn?
Like Auburn. Yeah.
Good for
Auburn,
him.
Yeah. Phenomenal. Right. He's actually doing a great job there, too.
Okay.
Which is, of course, he's probably cheating a little bit.
I mean, are they in a little, are they in a little bit of trouble? Sure, but hey.
I was thinking that there had been a Bruce Pearl question mark at some point recently, but I might just be looking in the crystal ball a little bit. Not that there's any reason to expect that, you know. There's a lot of reason to expect. Bruce Pearl's the reason.
It's Bruce Pearl. It's who he is as a person. He's like a guy who was like in a fraternity who just never grew up, just like some 19-year-old who just like randomly takes his shirt off because he's kind of overweight and so it's funny. But he just keeps doing it, and he's like a 55-year-old man. It's like it's shtick, and it's very funny because he's actually a good head coach, and it makes zero sense.
You guys both pretty quickly said he's doing a good job at Auburn. I believe you said that verbatim, Sterling.
So this year they're 11-11.
They're 500. But they're lower than Mizzou in the SEC, no. Sterling.
He was in the Final Four 2 years ago, and I think like one of their best players was out this year. Shreve Cooper didn't join the team until like a couple weeks ago.
You just gave them credit for fine there, but it's the standards thing again.
For
We're
his career, but
again.
Like for his time at Auburn,
sure.
the organization is in a good their team is in a good spot.
But where has Mizzou been in recent history? Like this
not
is
good.
Still I feel like this is still I feel like we've gotten out ahead of ourselves a little bit. I feel like firing Kwanzo Martin at the end of the most successful season we've seen in a minute might just be a little spicy at this point.
Hey, Briscoe, I didn't say fire him. I said
You said we'll- die by hitting the ground after jumping out of an airplane.
Well, I mean is that
Didn't say fired.
You did.
I didn't say fired.
You said you weren't pulling the parachute yet. You said you were going to pass on impact. Give me your quick Andrew Benintendi trade take, and then also if you prefer the nickname Andrew Chicken Tendies, Andrew Super Nintendies, or what was the other one that followed him in Boston?
Benny Biceps.
Which of those three nicknames do you like the most?
So I went with Benny and the Jets if the Royals still had a base. I thought Benny and the Jets would be great.
Don't hate that.
Walkout song too.
That could be a Charlie Hustle shirt for sure.
Yeah, one you like Mondesi and Whit Merrifield to the side of him. Like that would be very good. That'd be a strong shirt.
He has to be good for that to work though. Mm-hmm. Andrew
or
Chicken Tendies, he can hit 125.
Or, or you just pull the Sandlot thing and you just go straight Benny the Jet, not and the Jets, just Benny the Jet.
That's also sure.
Yeah. Sure. Also, but before I give my quick thoughts on this trade, just because as this show typically does, we go off topic. I wanted to make
a
shirt where
did you listen to the first hour?
Well, I heard people say they want like the Chiefs have a chip on their shoulder, and so I said a shirt with Andy Reid eating barbecue, and then have like a barbecue chip on his shoulder. I think that'd be pretty good.
I think someone, maybe Frank Clark, had a shirt that had like a literal chip on the shoulder. Like last offseason, it was just like a screen printed on chip. It might have been, I think it was a Defender. I'm not sure, but I imagine
it sounds
that you could,
like something Frank Clark would do.
It really does. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the God's honest truth.
It's probably Frank Clark.
It just sounds very Frank Clark-y. But sure, there's that.
Yeah.
Which nickname are you picking other than your own?
Benny Biceps, because you got to take it for Alex Gordon, and Alex Gordon was obviously a absolute hunk. So, dude had some biceps. You gotta beef up in the biceps category. So we need to go round two with Benintendi.
Is Benintendi now the hunkiest Royal in your opinion?
Oh, that's a tough question there, Briscoe. You're asking hard hitting questions right now.
You brought it up.
Yeah,
you brought it up.
I'll have to get back with you. I'll have to take a quick look. You know,
I'm going through the roster right now. I'm also looking at more pictures of Andrew Benintendi.
Open up that private browser.
I'm just going to the Royals.
I mean, Josh is not ashamed. No, the search is there.
I mean, I'm literally talking through it on radio at the moment, so.
Sure, as one does.
Seems like I don't really have much shame at this point. What did you think about the trade, though? Did you have any?
Yeah, I have very strong thoughts on this.
Oh, very strong. Okay, jeez. Yeah. All right, let me scoot back from the microphone. My God.
This was one of the best trades in Royals' recent memory. This is one that I think is one that the Royals should have been making all along. I don't know what is going on with Boston. I have no idea if Bill O'Brien took over the Red Sox, but I am absolutely loving this. You get a guy who was the number one or number two, depending on where you looked at, prospect in 2017. He's had 2 to 3 good seasons in the majors, was progressing extremely nicely until the oblique injury in 2019. 2020 is an absolute wash. Dude played in 14 games while injured. If you consider that, then you have to take into account how much he absolutely rakes at Kauffman, which are, again, 2 terribly small sample sizes. So, So at the end of the day, you're getting a top prospect who has already performed, and you gave up Franchy Cordero, who, by the way, is only 2 months younger than Benintendi. But all of a sudden, Cordero is bursting with potential, while Benintendi has already done it and actually was a top prospect. You give Khalil Lee, who was basically, I don't want to say expendable, because I think Khalil Lee was a potential major leaguer, but maybe a fourth outfielder.
Yeah.
He had a lot of holes in his game. So you give maybe a fourth outfielder, a dude who has not put it together in Cordero, who, you, by the way, was traded for Tim Hill. You basically gave up a loogie for Andrew Benintendi. Yeah, I will take that all day and twice on Sunday. So, to me, I have no idea what the Red Sox are doing, but as a Royals fan, this is phenomenal. Even if he just bats, like, 270 and he bats his 2019 season instead of 2018, that's above average. That's better than Gordon was doing his past 4 seasons or 3 seasons in Kauffman. That's still going to be a top 4 or 5 hitter on this Royals team. That's still a professional at bat. So I absolutely love this trade, not only for now, but for the future.
Whenever you said I'll take that every day and twice on Sundays, it was like a young Jim Rome popped into my headphones, punched me in the face, told me to rack him, and then left again. It was wild. It's even more exaggerated on the phone because it kind of evens out the tone. It's very startling, Sterling.
Are you going to play the not a good call, that was a bad call, that little outro he does whenever there's a bad call? I feel like Beard should have that just.
There's no way Beard knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No. Nah, that's true.
I know what you're talking about. I've heard enough of the Jim Rome show. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just if it wasn't NBA specific, there's very little chance.
Mm-hmm. Or the lacrosse team that's talking about phalluses. So
yeah, the whip snakes, water dogs, cannons, snakes. And redwoods.
Yeah, the whip snakes.
With that in the recent rear view, I saw you were up on the most recent Arrowhead Addict podcast, and you've done some work with Arrowhead Addict as well. I want to get you a little Chiefs pre-offseason take. It feels like we're right in that sort of way too early, but we're here for anyway kind of sweet spot where we're not quite to the point that we're like actually making our sort of final choices on some things, but we're kind of taking a look at the landscape. The Super Bowl is officially in the rear view. We're not really in Super Bowl breakdown mode anymore. How are you feeling right now? A little heat check on what we may have learned from the Super Bowl. Anything you want to overreact to and some of the storylines that have bubbled up in these last couple of days as we're really in the pre-offseason mode?
The only wide receivers that I really want to have back next year are Tyreek Hill and Byron Pringle.
Mm.
That's probably where I'm at right now. Honestly, that was like hot if you went into the Super Bowl saying that, and now everyone came out of it going, okay, that's the most moderate take you can possibly have. and the thing is, I like Mecole Hardman. I think he's a great guy. I think he, you know, maybe has a lot of talent and potential, the word that a lot of Royals fans like to use. Just with Mecole Hardman, though, he's not seemingly grown.
Yeah.
His numbers from his rookie year to his second year, while he has more yards, his yards per reception went way down.
Yeah.
He was not as effective. And when you notice, it's something that stood out to me. When Mahomes missed to McColl, he missed to him way more than any other receiver. Mm-hmm. And then after the game and post games, McColl never really said it was on him. He almost tried to slide the blame on Mahomes a few times, and you're sitting there like, I'm not hearing Sammy. I'm not hearing D-Rob. I'm not hearing Tyreek or Travis say anything about this. Why is it just all of a sudden when he's thrown to you, there's some issue? And he came out and said he gets tired when people say he's only a speed guy and can't run, the wide receiver route tree. And I'm like, well, dude, you haven't shown it.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just going to sit here and just talk you up and say how good you are when all these guys that went after you are turning into studs in the NFL and you're sitting here. And again, it's going to sound bad, but almost like D'Anthony Thomas.
Yeah.
It's just a little frustrating. It's Brett Veach has not hit on a lot of these early round draft picks, and I think we're starting to see the repercussions. The Breland Speaks, the Mecole Hardmans, to an extent, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, just from where you drafted him. So maybe my main overreaction early on is Brett Veach has actually struggled drafting, especially in 2018, and we're seeing the after effects right now.
Yeah. I think, first of all, I think the kind of wide receiver overreaction, I'm continuing to call it an overreaction, but I agree with it. Like, I think that that's the one that I don't mind the little knee-jerk there, because it was so disappointing on so many levels. And I don't think that they should try to flip Mecole Hardman for a mid-round draft pick right now. Like, I think that they're in on a certain level that I'm interested to just let him continue, let him develop another offseason, see what he does next year and all that stuff. But you can't, I don't think it's reasonable to expect Hardman to take a leap from year two to year three, because there was just so little movement from year one to year two. Also, do you know, I'll tell you this, he played 45% of the snaps in his rookie season offensively. Do you know what percentage of snaps he played this last year?
Dude couldn't get above D-Rob, and Byron Pringle was stealing snaps. And this is with a just in the body shop Sammy Watkins. I want to say like 37%.
You think it went down from year one to year two?
Dude, I didn't even see him on the – dude.
You ruined my game. It's also 45%. He played the exact same percentage year one to year two.
Yeah.
You got to guess like 95% so it can be impactful.
So you'd be like, whoa, check this out.
That's all right. That's all right. That's a learned skill.
In fairness, Briscoe, I watch every game and check the snap counts after them.
So do I, but I forgot.
You got close. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. You got
close.
Well,
and I was very bullish on Mecole after
the season. Me too.
So that's
the thing. I think that at this point, it would just be silly to have the take this offseason of like, this is the year Mecole Hardman all puts it together. And if he surprises us, great. It'll be a wonderful surprise that I'll be very happy to have on this team. And if he doesn't, then I'm not going to be hurt again, which I was.
It's like
this
Mizzou.
Year.
It's like Mizzou. I'm not getting back on the roller coaster. It's only half finished.
It's the draft thing, I think, is also interesting. It's something that I imagine we'll probably talk about here later this week, certainly at some point this offseason, where having Patrick Mahomes cures a lot of ills, right? And there have mm-hmm. been some guys later in drafts. Derek Nnadi, third round pick, is fine. Nobody else from that draft is doing anything of any significance
brutal.
From 2018. That draft class is brutal. 2019, they took Mecole Hardman. I understand that. I don't think that pick is like miserable by the logic or whatever, which, like, you know, not to be super incendiary once again, but the logic of drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round, I don't think held up at the time. Drafting Mecole Hardman there, especially because they didn't know what was going to happen with Tyreek Hill, I get it. They did also take him over DK Metcalf, and that always hurts.
And Terry McLaughlin. I don't know how to say his last name. I always think it's like the singer that sings that Savage Dog and Dog commercials.
You definitely said it like Sarah McLaughlin for sure.
Yeah, it's McLaughlin.
It's McLaurin, isn't
McLaurin,
it?
McLaurin, yeah,
it's
Terry McLaurin.
Okay,
Terry McLaurin. Yes, yes, yes.
Wait,
Terry
like
McLaurin.
The car? Like the that's
yeah, Terry DeLorean. Yeah, the DeLorean.
Yeah, Terry DeLorean.
Wait, what's that Star Wars thing?
The Terry and DeLorean?
The pterodactyl's a dinosaur.
The Terry Mandalorian. Sorry.
There it is. Yeah. Terry Mandalorian's pretty good. Okay. Vince gave you a little golf clap for that, Sterling. That's not bad. But, you know, Juan Thornhill later in the second round, that pick, I think he would go higher than that spot again. And then even you find guys like Rashad Fenton in the sixth, Nick Allegretti in the seventh, cool. Then we don't know about Willie Gay yet. We don't know about Lucas Niang yet. Clyde in the first round, meh. Legarius Steen the fourth is a great pick. Michael Banna in the fifth, fine. That as a role player, that's fine. But their top picks have not cashed out, and the percentage of hits, even as you acknowledge, I think that, you know, that the draft is largely a crapshoot. It's a disappointing set of results, especially when you have to also deal with the fact that they traded up for Speaks and Hardman and a lot of these guys. They actually ended up moving up 4 in years past. it's just not as productive a haul as you would expect from a GM that we largely, I think, feel pretty good about.
Yeah, and I really like Brett Veach. I think he's an absolute wizard what he's done with the cap. He went from not being able to buy a PS4 to all of a sudden spending like $500 million, and you go, okay, pal, where did this come up from? Are you like a are you laundering money?
Yes.
Like I go, are you on OPEC? But no, at the end of the day, you can hit on Legarius, and that's fantastic. Like, you love seeing that, but you can't go whole draft classes without impact players. Yeah. Like, I think Derek Nnadi played 30% of snaps or so, and that's your main guy from that one draft the year before. That's not going to cut it. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think everyone knew going into that, or at least most of us knew who were pretty into analytics
Sterling, not everyone knew. Because I have a Twitter, and so I know that not everyone agreed with us. But sorry, go ahead. I just wanted to make that point that not everyone agreed with us.
The Chiefs didn't agree with you.
That's true.
Anyone who, like, somewhat knew about analytics said that, hey, this maybe is going to be a bad pick if you draft a running back here, and then you find out, well, he got outrushed and outplayed by James Robinson.
He was the Chiefs. The Chiefs decided he was their rookie of the year. So why don't you shut up, Sterling?
Yeah, and that has nothing to do with publicity, because it's not like Legarius Sneed was actually a stud and maybe a contender for defense or rookie of the year. But no, let's give it to the first runner to make the organization look good.
Any of those things. Those the opinions of Sterling Holmes does not necessarily reflect the opinions of Joshua Briscoe, except when they do, like that one just then.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But no, at the end of the day, at some point as much as we love Brett Veach, we still have to say, hey, maybe these things he's not doing as well.
Yep.
And it's only fair. I mean, if we just basically said the entire time, okay, the Chiefs are the best team in the world, every single player is the best, we'd be lying. You're just being a blind fan. And at that point, eventually, like Mizzou, the other foot's going to drop and it's going to be a disaster. So, you know, I'm high on Willie Gay. I'm high on Lucas Niang. I like Legarius Sneed. But still, you got to start hitting on these first-rounders, the guys that have the fifth-year options, if you want to continue to have success once a lot of these even larger contracts start coming up.
Is it true that they used to call you Rolling Blackout in college?
I thought it was Rudy's nickname.
I think that it was definitely Rudy in Kentucky. Kentucky Rudy was definitely
yes.
Rolling Blackout.
Yeah.
I imagine you also had your share of Rolling Blackouts.
No.
More of a rolling falling asleep on the couch before everybody else.
That's fair. listening to Led Zeppelin. How's that sound?
Rolling, listening to Led Zeppelin and falling on the couch at 9:30 p.m. That's what they called you.
Yeah,
good.
And then Red Hot Chili Peppers too. Just both those. Just flip them back and forth. They're interchangeable.
This name's getting too long, Sterling.
Beards, do you know the royalty-free music that sounds sort of like Red Hot Chili Peppers' song?
No, but also to Beards' point, I still think, as long as that was, I think it was shorter than Salt of La Machia.
I mean, you had some pretty good jokes this segment, so you were due for a stinker.
Oh, come on, that was pretty good. It was the longest name in baseball history.
Beards, don't worry about it. We'll save that for next time. We'll play a game with Sterling next time we have him on. Sterling, lick your wounds. Stop watching Mizzou. Don't go watch the highlights. It's not worth it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Briscoe.
Sterling Holmes of Darren and Sterling on ESPN Kansas City. Also on all over the place on Arrowhead Addict, on the most recent Arrowhead Addict podcast. Follow him on Twitter at HomestretchKC for more of your must. I was going to ask him about the puppy. I was going to ask him how the having a puppy was going.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get there next time.
He was telling me about it today. Apparently, the puppy has to go to the bathroom a lot throughout the night, so he's not sleeping a lot.
Yeah, he mentioned that a couple days ago to me, that the puppy had fallen asleep on his pillow.
Oh.
And then, well, you say, aw, but then Sterling, like, literally at that point, I think just needed to sleep in a doghouse. Like, that was like his only, you can't move the puppy. It's on your pillow. It's a new puppy.
You got a couch, right?
That puppy is going to be so poorly behaved. Can you imagine Sterling scolding a dog?
No,
there's no chance. I think if Sterling tried to scold a dog, it would pee on the floor as an act of rebellion. I cannot imagine that working out well for him. Follow him on Twitter at HomestretchKC. Whenever we come back, we'll, I don't know, talk about the Chiefs offseason coming up, or I'll get distracted by some other random garbage during the commercial break.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Watching good teams lose with their poor quarterback play is kind of sad, except for whenever it's the Broncos, and then it's hilarious.
On Sports Radio 810, WHB.
Thanks again to Sterling Holmes for joining us, complaining about Mizzou, talking about how much he loves the Andrew Benintendi trade, and telling us, giving us a Brett Veach NFL draft hot take. It's not that hot a take. It's a good take, I think, also, but something that we haven't fully gotten to yet this week. Also, something I want to mention, I've got some, like, really I'm narrow casting to, mostly to the people who listen on Twitch, watch the show on Twitch. First of all, if you like the show, cannot encourage you enough to watch the show on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube pages.
All at the same time.
All of them, all in different tabs.
Have four tabs open.
There's only
every
three.
Video.
I just listed three.
Almost entirely sports Facebook page.
That's true, I suppose. That's also fair. And then also 810WHB.com. You can just stream the audio there, download the podcast, and then turn on your terrestrial radio. And have them all playing with their various delays at full speed, full volume. And then
we need a reverse headphone splitter so that it takes a whole bunch of audio sources directly into your headphones.
A mixer. Mm. And you're using one right now, Beards. You are using one of those right now.
Well, listen. Not everybody can afford one of these.
We have five of those in this building
right
now.
I think that Beards wasn't for sure what the device was.
Right. It's... A device that takes
we
audio from multiple
streams. You know
what a headphone
that's going to take audio from maybe like three different microphones.
But what?
And then like occasionally a computer, maybe a commercial system, and it's just going to put it all into one thing.
The visual I had in my head is, you know what a headphone splitter is, where it's the wire that has two, it basically the reverse of that, but for your headphones. That's what I was thinking there.
That also exists.
Okay, cool.
It's a headphone splitter.
Then go buy, no.
You can plug it in, you can.
Other way around.
I think you can do that.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
A mixer is what I would suggest.
Well, if you have the money to do it, then go ahead.
I'm not saying it's super affordable. I'm saying that thing exists and you're currently touching it.
If someone could invent this device,
and maybe you can adjust the volume of each thing independently.
Hear me out.
That'll never happen.
Chicken. But instead of putting it on a grill, it was in some sort of like oil.
But what if you, like,
and,
put... So
it
know,
made it a little... It kind of maybe made it a little almost... Not necessarily crispy, but gave it a breading on the outside.
It
doesn't
sound like it would catch on, you guys.
Here's what I'm thinking, Rudy. Shut up, Beards. Yeah. Here's what I'm thinking, Rudy. You know grilled chicken sandwiches?
Yeah.
How good they are?
Very good.
You've got, like...
Best way to consume chicken, I would think.
The best food that exists. It's like, yeah. So you got grilled chicken, and you got, like, bread kind of on top of it and bread below it.
Yeah.
But what if you could make chicken... that kind of had the bread around it already, and then you made it like really hot.
So are you grilling
in oil.
It?
That sounds stupid.
No, I'm thinking you want it to stay moisturized.
Okay.
So you could dump it in oil like you do with French fries.
Ooh.
Which in this universe already do exist.
Well, of course.
And you just, but it's literally like chicken fries.
Oh, chicken fries.
You like chicken fries, with like bread around them already.
My mind's blown.
It's like a tortilla wrap, you know, but like maybe smaller pieces.
Next thing you're going to tell me there's a different way to eat a taco than with a crunchy shell.
Whew. What other things would you like to invent, Beards?
So what about, okay.
What if there was some sort of device?
Really a good host.
You know how football is really popular? Okay, now hear me out here.
Okay.
This is crazy.
Okay.
What if we took like. A basket.
Why is Rudy so off center on the video?
Because he's leaning back.
Oh, what if we took like a basket?
No, that's fine. No, relax.
Yeah.
Really good.
Okay. What?
It's just brainstorming.
It's just like a basket, right? And you put it like kind of up in the air.
You throw it up in the air. You toss it up.
The basket is it is being held up somehow. You know, however,
by a person.
It could be just sitting on top of something. It could be on a pole, maybe. You know what? Pole's not bad.
Let's do a pole. Okay. So you put a basket on a pole.
Yeah. And so instead of the football where you throw it to
people, call it pole ball.
You throw it in a basket. Now the
polo.
The problem is
that
the shape of a football is it's probably not great to like try to throw into a basket that's like up in the air.
So maybe we need to change the shape of it. You're inventing basketball that exists already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's crazy that exists already. Yeah, you didn't know that. Wow, what a silly boy you are.
I'm sorry.
Didn't know that basketball existed
already.
Okay,
now what if there was a team that only liked white players that played the sport? That
in fairness, it's the entire city. Beards, you do get a dub today if you just take it.
I'm here.
What happened with that team with a very racist history and a city with a very racist history whenever they played a team with a Rudy Salazar history today?
Nikola Jokic was great.
The Celtics beat the Nuggets today.
Yeah, they did.
Why won't you just take that? I'm trying to give you some free points. But it just came up. I wish they would invent some sort of device that Beards could put over his ear so he would hear the things that we're saying.
Ooh, like amplified the sound?
Amplify his listening comprehension levels.
I need some earmuffs. That's what I need.
Yeah, but like earmuffs that play sound.
No, I need the opposite. I need them to deaden sound.
Well, he broke those. He had them, but he broke them.
I did.
Sterling was good, and Seth is always good, so I don't think this is going to dethrone our previous worst show of all time.
We're just all right.
But the two of them are going to be the two. Our plus minus... Sterling's plus minus through the roof. Seth's plus minus is going to be incredible. We are the Denver Nuggets. Seth and Sterling are Jokic tonight.
Okay, yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah, that's fine.
But the three of us are the rest of the Nuggets.
Sterling's Jamal Murray.
I was just going to say that.
Sterling is Jamal Murray.
Seth is Nikola Jokic.
Yeah. I'm playing up the Denver roster.
And we are, because here's the thing, Beards. Monte Morris, Gary Harris, Paul Millsap, Will Barton, and... somebody else who I'm now forgetting were out today, so you can't use those players. So,
dang it.
Okay.
Beards, you're Jamichael Green.
I'll take it.
I think Beards should be Michael Porter Jr. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Beards should be Michael Porter Jr. because Beards has also had long unexplained absences.
Good point. You're Facu Campazzo.
Whoa, Facu Campazzo, you.
Just a little Argentinian man.
Oh, okay.
Argentinian man. I'll be Jamichael Green. Nobody really knows where he came from, but he's just now on the team now. And you know, he'll knock down an open three here and there. But nobody knows how he got there. Nobody. As far as anybody knows, he literally just became a person 3 months ago.
The Nuggets are playing a baby? The Nuggets are playing a 6'8" 3-month-old baby? Wow. The thing I was going to say to all of the people watching on our various visual streams, I've got two updates.
I don't know
updates.
Why you would be after this.
I honestly, dude,
it's very true.
I mean, if I got a text from Lebo after the show and was like, hey, man, what happened? I would not have an answer.
It just said, you're done. Yep.
Yeah, but yeah, that's fine.
Understandable.
Oh, we know.
Thank you for the...
Thanks for being late for the party, Lebo.
Thanks for having us. I really thought I was going to get 45 minutes out of Deshaun Watson today, and instead of talking about Chris Hogan, it's really weird.
And whip snakes.
The Twitch thing.
Oh, yeah, that.
I've got a very exciting update, and then also some stuff like, you know, under construction sign up here. Had a couple people on Twitch asking about the, like, mid-roll, like, the pre-roll ads that are showing up during the stream at unideal times.
Mid-roll ads.
I guess they're mid-rolls at that point.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure that out. That's not going to stay that way forever, probably. What is an update, though, is we have gotten through the affiliate program, and I have submitted 3 custom emotes that just need to be approved. No show tomorrow night. My hope, fingers crossed, knock on wood, is that we have our 3 brand new custom emotes show up for Thursday night's show.
That'd be pretty cool.
I'm pretty excited.
Are we teasing what they are?
I don't know. Rudy and Beards have seen them both.
All 3 of them.
I think it should be a surprise.
Meant both of you had seen all 3. Yeah.
I think it should be a surprise.
Yeah, I think
hold them. You'll find out when they're ready.
I'll probably tweet them out whenever they're about to drop, so everyone on Twitter can see them, and I'll plug the 810 Twitch account.
Also,
I'm pretty tickled by them.
If you would like the mid-roll ads to go away and also the pre-roll ads to go away, just click that subscribe button. If you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe for free.
Oh, is that true?
That's true.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I didn't know that
either. You have Amazon Prime.
Our parents do.
Use a free subscription.
Just use your parents.
What I'm thinking is I am on my
which
parents'
is, which
Prime,
is very
which
beneficial
work.
For the page. Getting those Prime memberships is very helpful.
Okay. Well, look at that. Twitch expert Rudy Salazar.
Maybe I'll gift subs out every now and then.
Maybe you can do some gift subs. What does it mean when you get rated?
We should probably... drop though our tier one from like $4.99 to $2.99.
Can we change that price?
Yeah, $4.99. The rest of the tiers are fine. The tier one should be like $3 a month.
Here's what I'll acknowledge.
So when you're being rated, it's somebody else's who is streaming has stopped streaming.
Yeah,
and so they're sending all their viewers to you.
That's what I thought that was. Okay, very exciting.
And it's like in theory we could also set up raids so when we're done, got people like Ice Pyro, Metzl, Chaotic Warrior, they go to so and so.
We'll send them to Ninja who could really use
he
our viewership.
He needs the help. People help Ninja out, man. He needs it.
Just some poor Ninja.
Just
he's
someone...
still a ninja. You know how outdated being a ninja is in today's society?
Oh,
there's not a lot of work. There's not a lot of work.
Also, your technology's old now.
The ninja technology?
Yeah.
You don't get to say bleep about technology that should or shouldn't exist this segment. You lost those privileges whenever you forgot what a mixer was.
I didn't forget what a mixer was. I had a completely different idea. It turned out then to be true and real. But I didn't know that.
Hey, also, if you're one of our some of our first subscribers, you get a limited. There's only a couple will be given out. They're badges that say first on them because that means you're like a founder subscriber.
Wow.
I don't know how many of those there are. Like, well, how many? Like, I don't know if it's the first 10 or 20. But hey, if you want that first, go subscribe.
I'll see
like 2009 YouTube comment section.
I think Tucker is actually.
Did he subscribe with Prime? Yeah. I saw that. So that's a little bit up in the air. If you're not a Twitch user, this is probably totally useless to you. But so is most of tonight's show.
If you're not, then you should be watching either
Chaotic,
of the Facebook or YouTube
pages. I know it says $4.99. Well,
it's $5.99 current sub price.
I mean, I'm on the sub. I think that's a typo because I'm on the sub thing. It says renews monthly $4.99. We'll lower that.
We'll figure. Yeah, that. Because here's the truth.
If you have Amazon Prime, though, link your Prime up to Twitch and then subscribe with your Prime.
Great. Also, you could watch it for free on Facebook or YouTube.
True, but stay here.
Stay on Twitch. We're going to make... I think the Twitch experience is going to be our most ideal one. We're just working it out as we go.
Yeah.
Nothing is finalized. It's all a work in progress, except for the emotes, which will be very, very good whenever they arrive. I think you'll be very happy with them. List of prohibited games is one of the top articles on the Twitch like help
ooh
section.
What are the games?
Oh my god!
I don't know if I want to know.
There are most of them are.
Let's see.
Not safe for reading on the radio or streaming. Probably.
What games are we not allowed to play here in the studio? Oh come on, Paige. Now I have to know.
Well, you can know, but no one else gets to over the radio. We can take a break. Seth Kaiser in 10 minutes. Something else whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I think today was not only a weird show, it was also at least okay.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I just saw a tweet here from Bailey Carlin. Peter's like to get your thoughts on this at your leisure.
Uh-oh.
We're coming up on 10 bleeping years since George R.R. Martin released his last book.
Yeah.
Do you think that's happening? I don't want to get macabre, but how old is George R.R. Martin?
He's not as old as you'd think.
Question for you, Josh. What comes out first? The next book in the Game of Thrones series or an actual playable edition of Cyberpunk?
Well, joke's on Rudy. That's already out.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think with the loophole of needing a supercomputer that mines Bitcoin in its free time, I think Cyberpunk. So you guys know what George R.R. Martin looks like, right?
Yeah.
Yes. He's the same age as Samuel L. Jackson.
Whoa.
They're both 72.
Whoa.
Oh, that's a little older than I thought. Okay.
For both of them,
whoa,
right?
Samuel Jackson.
He's 72. Because
here's the thing. I'm not shocked that George R.R. Martin's 72, just based off, again, the way George R.R. Martin looks. I am shocked that Samuel Jackson's 72. That man is still doing every other commercial on TV.
He just turned 72, I guess, but he is 72.
Wow.
But to answer your question about the book, I think we'll at least get 6, and then 7 will probably be a ghostwriter, is my theory.
So, like, George R.R. Martin, after he dies, is going to come back and write a book?
Yes.
He's not writing them while he's alive. I don't know if he's going to be writing them when he's dead.
Or it'll be the Wheel of Time, and just somebody else will finish it for him.
Samuel L. Jackson is the same age as Terry Bradshaw. Does that not ruin your whole day? They're both 72.
Oh, is it ruins my day?
That is shocking.
Made it more interesting.
It's surprising, for sure.
That is shocking to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think of Terry Bradshaw as more or less a doddering old man that's just out there having a good time.
Never wearing a shirt.
And Samuel L. Jackson is like he could reprise his role as Mace Windu right now, and I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Just a little bit of an older Mace Windu.
By the way, Mace Windu was awesome.
Underrated character.
He was great.
One of the most underrated Star Wars characters, I think. That's incredible!
Do you know why he has a purple lightsaber?
No.
He asked George Lucas, he's like, I want a purple lightsaber. And George was like, yeah, we can do purple. He literally asked for it, and he was like, yeah, sure, we'll give it to you. You're Samuel L. Jackson.
He's a cool man.
Samuel L. Jackson is the same age as Greg Popovich.
He's just, he is a lot older than I would have guessed. Such a cool man.
I just one more time. So, Greg Popovich, Terry Bradshaw, Richard Simmons, George Foreman, Al Gore.
Richard Simmons is that old?
Billy Crystal and Samuel L. Jackson and Steven Tyler and Stevie Nicks.
Billy Crystal's that old?
Are all 72. Ozzy Osbourne is the same age as Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, boy.
I don't feel like either of you have been shaken to your core as much as I have.
Yeah, no.
That is generally stunning to me.
I'm stunned that Samuel L. Jackson's that old. I'm not necessarily stunned that Terry Bradshaw or George R. Martin's that old.
But using him as a comparison.
He is as old as these other people, yes. Because Samuel L. Jackson looks like, if you told me he was like 62. Wow, that was weird. No beard, 62, not 30. The 30, that's way too young.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is 1 year older than Samuel L. Jackson and Terry Bradshaw.
Damn. Go Arnold.
He's the same age as Elton John, Hillary Clinton, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They're all 73.
Ken!
Who's 74?
O.J. Simpson and David Letterman are both 73?
Oh, boy.
Seth Kaiser is next.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.